Yeah, and he's a regular on this show, the quarterback Bernie Kosar. Bernie, it was a strange Super Bowl, that's one word, but also an incredibly exciting one as well. And I think all of us probably at the end were happy that it turned into a game, although that half-hour-plus delay for the blackout was just bizarre.
Well, Juan, it's good to be here after a nice, exciting Super Bowl like that. And I know hindsight's 20/20, but I was sitting there during that delay yesterday, and I was kind of thinking back. I don't want to say, okay, when I was playing, but one of the things that really I was talking about at that point yesterday was, and I know you could concur with this, you know, as when you're an older player, and Baltimore definitely is the older team, when you get loose, when you play like they did for a few hours, a couple hours yesterday, and then you take that unexpected, you have halftime, which is a little longer with the Beyonce show,
right,
and then they run the kickoff back, but then you almost have like a 40-minute delay. Older players get tighter quicker, and it's harder to get loose again. And Frisco being a much younger team, I was kind of thinking that, boy, that's for its score being 28-6 at that point, that's probably just what Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers needed to kind of get back in the game, because there's a lot of age experience on the Ravens, which
right,
definitely proved helpful in that first half to get them that big lead. But again, I think guys tightened up and they kind of lost their edge, and I don't think they kind of got back into the game towards the end. And I think that's part of the reason why it helped make it a game.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It favored the 49ers in a big way, because you knew the Ravens had all the momentum at that point, and I think there was a sense on the 49ers' part of panic. I thought they came into that game really looking like and you know, we could say, well, it's the quarterback starting only his 10th game, being all flustered and hyperventilating or whatever it might have been, and I think there's some degree of truth to that. But overall, I just thought as a team they seemed pretty tight and maybe too exuberant, and I thought the Ravens played with a greater sense of looseness and a greater sense of, hey, we know what to do here and we'll just handle it. But when that blackout occurred, it was almost as if it gave the 49ers that pause, that chance to kind of reflect and look at what they'd done and look inside themselves a little bit and say, okay, we're going to come out and do what we do. And especially Colin Kaepernick, because I thought he just was a looser quarterback after that.
Well, I definitely concur with you. And if I could add on to that too, 49ers MO has kind of been in the playoffs this year, they were down by double digits in each one of their victories. So they've been a slow starting playoff team. Being youthful probably had something to do with it, not just with Kaepernick, with quite a bit of the team. And then they've come back in the second half in all their playoff games, including the Super Bowl, and again, falling short like they did, but that definitely was had something to do with it.
Bernie, as you looked at some of the strategic parts of this game, the way the Ravens handled the Kaepernick threat, I thought was obviously very good, because for the most part, they didn't, where we saw with Green Bay and you know, where we saw with Atlanta, when teams were conflicted over how to handle Frank Gore in the running game or Kaepernick's running, you know, picking your poison there, one way or another, you were getting poisoned. It didn't work that way for the Ravens defense.
Well, you know, me and you talked offline last week, and the Baltimore Ravens, watching film of them this year, they played Washington Redskins, RG3, and you saw Dean Bees, their defensive coordinator, in that game playing somewhat of the pistol, somewhat of that read offense, a read option type offense. The way the front seven and the defense of Baltimore handled that, and they did as good a job as anybody in their scouting for the Redskins, for RG3, in terms of taking away the back up the middle with the defensive tackle, and a lot of times the end crashing with the inside linebacker looping around to take outside leverage on the quarterback. And they were so disciplined in that game that it kind of gave me an idea that they were going to be ready for Kaepernick and that pistol and the read option type stuff, because they have done as good a job as anybody during the season with us. So they had prepared for it, I think, about a month or so ago when they played Washington. And then they had 2 weeks to do this. So I think the older defense actually got a little healthier. Ray Lewis, much has been said about him missing most of the season. I think it kept his legs. He had his speed. And they did a nice job of taking away each option and having a guy on each potential ball carrier throughout the game.
Bernie Kosar making his regular appearance here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we talk about Super Bowl 47. And, Bernie, when it comes down to other parts of the strategy, there's going to be a lot of second-guessing and criticism of Jim Harbaugh's play calling down in that last goal line stand by the Ravens. And it did seem like they were trying maybe too hard to get cute and clever and out of their comfort zone or out of what they do best, which is pound it. They've got that big physical offensive line. They were having success rushing the football and also giving Colin Kaepernick the opportunity to, again, run the read option where he could be doing some things with his legs instead, trying to maybe make some throws and maybe forcing some throws into the end zone that didn't work.
Boy, Vic, me and you are like right on cue right here. It's almost like I would actually show up for a production meeting or something.
That's because I've learned from the best from you, man. You've taught me well.
I don't want to criticize Jim Harbaugh. What they've done, what he's done in 2 years, what he's done with this offense, his creativity, his toughness that he's brought to that team, the physical nature. I'm the last one that wants to criticize him. That being said, they were 0-for-7 passing in the red zone. And with 2 weeks to go, 2 weeks in between the game, you're right. Sometimes you have a little too much time, and that physical presence, that toughness, the core thing that San Francisco stands for, that they stood for, that was successful, they probably had about eight new plays or kind of trick 'em plays, right, in their game plan, I think, that they used that you – I don't want to say it the wrong way, but you really want to throw up when you watch it. And he's going to have to live with that. As great as he's done, as great as that team's done, I know those negative things is something he's going to reflect upon. And when he really, if you're open and you analyze it, none of them worked. And I probably wish, especially the last four plays, to not even try the read option or the pistol on any one of those four plays with Frank Gore is something I'm sure he's second-guessing today.
Yeah, and I think there were some protection issues as well. What I didn't like was the way San Francisco handled some of that wide blitzing that the Ravens did, because they were able to get through B-gap. They were able to get defenders coming right into Kaepernick's face. And, you know, I think back to when the Browns played the Ravens, and it looked like they accounted for the interior pass rush, knowing it's coming, but forcing the pass rush to come wider. And then at that point, you know, Brandon Whedon, whatever, could step up. Even though you know you got a guy coming off your shoulder, because the math still favors the defense coming with a blitzer, but it's much better to have him come wide than up the middle.
Well, you're absolutely right. And again, I'm not trying to be funny or obsessive or over dramatized, but I just love and study this game, and especially like when me and you were talking about Matt Ryan in Atlanta not coming through in the NFC Championship game, being inside the 10 is basically with the last drive of a chance to win. To have four plays like that, two of which were all-out blitzes like that against press coverage, every receiver across the board, and to throw the ball out of bounds on fourth down at Crabtree by Kaepernick, no matter what the flaws were, is something that you just can't happen. And Kaepernick had a phenomenal season, great playoffs, 67 yards rushing, the longest touchdown run by a quarterback in Super Bowl history, over 300 yards passing. So I'm not trying to nitpick on a couple plays, but that play did not give him a chance on fourth down to throw it and have a miscommunication with Randy Moss on the two-point play when it was 31-29. I feel sick about it, let alone how he must feel about it.
And I think to such a great extent, there was as much anticipation, maybe not of specific plays, but of tendencies because of the brother versus brother coaching matchup. I think they just know each other so well and know each other's souls right down to that inner thinking and feeling. And I'm, you know, I know it works both ways, but obviously I think to a great extent, John Harbaugh had the edge there, even though there's reason to think that Jim Harbaugh would certainly have those same types of insights on his brother.
Well, once again, I agree with you, but purely just from the quarterback standpoint, and I know I think sometimes unorthodox when it comes to that or old school with it, but I so am convinced, and I know it's right, that there's certain fundamentals that Otto Graham was doing in the 50s that's still solid and you must do today. And when you got blitz press coverage, everybody's bumped, and you're in the scoring zone. Again, not trying to be funny, but that's why sometimes you go to church on Sunday to ask God for that. You just, as a quarterback, it doesn't matter what the coach says, what the coordinator says, what the play call is. You should do that in your sleep. And they had that opportunity two or three times in the fourth quarter and did not convert, not once.
Bernie, this is such a good conversation, and there's so much more to talk about that we got to keep you around for another segment to do that. You good with that?
Would love to.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar. He'll be coming back. We're going to talk more about Super Bowl 47 and some thoughts about the implications of this season for the Ravens, what that'll have on the team, and maybe the effect on the AFC North as we go forward here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you on ESPN 850 WKNR.